Take your Bible and turn to Joshua chapter number 6. Brother Abraham requested that we have a scripture reading tonight. I know we have several folks with an English Bible, several folks with a Spanish Bible tonight. So I'll just read from the pulpit the first six verses of Joshua chapter number 6. Joshua chapter number 6. Joshua 6, 1 through 6. And if you'll follow along with me as I read, the Bible says, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sounds of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests, and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord." In just a minute, Brother Abraham will come and bring the message tonight. Been looking forward to hearing from him ever since we found out that he's going to bring in the message after Brother Anderson comes up and sings our special for us. Brother.
Once I stood in the night with my head bowed low in the darkness as black as could be, and my heart felt alone and I cried, "Oh Lord, don't hide your face from me. Hold my hand all the way, every hour, every day, from here to the great unknown. Take my hand, let me stand where no one stands alone. Like a king, I may live in a palace so tall, with great riches to call my own. But I don't know a thing in this whole wide world that's worse than being alone. Hold my hand all the way, every hour, every day, from here to the grave unknown. Take my hand, let me stand where no one stands alone. Where no one stands alone.
Amen. It's nice to be here. It's good to be here. I have mixed feelings about preaching tonight. I am excited and I am nervous too. So I'm going to try to do my best, okay? I don't know if I'm going to do Spanglish or... I've been living in the States for 17 years, and when you live in the States for 17 years, you start forgetting a little bit of Spanish, and then if you don't learn English, that becomes a problem because you don't speak either one the way you should. So I want to just try to do my best, and I want to be a blessing to you tonight. I think preacher wanted to make sure that someone preached while he was out, so he wanted to have a spiritual preacher. And he couldn't find one. So he was looking for a spiritual preacher. He couldn't find one. Then he tried to get a smart preacher, and there were none available. So he tried to get a good-looking one, and he failed. So he gave up looking, and he asked me to come and preach. Since I meet all three requirements, so just kidding. I know I'm humble, and I'm very proud of being. I love this church. Of course, my pastor Andrew is my pastor, my preacher, because I'm part of this church. But also, when I was in Bible college, the pastor, the church that I got saved in Mexico, my pastor had resigned when I was done with college, so I had no pastor. So Pastor Andrew is my pastor. So not only because I work here, but I don't have another pastor. So it's a blessing. I love him. He's a mentor to me. I really appreciate. I thank God for the opportunity to preach, and thank God for Pastor trusting me to be behind his pulpit. So let's get in the Word, and what Brother Luke read this just a few minutes ago in Joshua chapter 6. I want to start with a little bit of introduction here. In Genesis 1:14 through 19, don't go there, just when God created and formed this great universe, in the beginning, he established orbits for each one of the planets to be in. And all the planets travel on their own circular orbits around the sun. Also, the satellites have their own orbits and around their respective planets. And they travel around their own planet, as that planet itself travels around the sun. It's a little complicated, and it's more complicated if you don't speak English, like I do. So, but it's, you know, it's amazing how God created the universe that way. I mean, when you look at the solar system, when you look at the sky, it's like if you're looking at an amazing, huge clock. It's just amazing. I don't know how can you look at the solar system and conclude that that was the result of an explosion. It is just, the more you study and the more you think about it, the more ridiculous that the evolution theory sounds. And it is so organized and it's so exact. It's the complete opposite of the Big Bang. It's like if you believe that, you know, the Big Bang created this universe, it's the same as believing that a great encyclopedia came out of a print shop explosion. It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But anyways, so God designed and organized and made this so exact that man learned how to measure time just by looking and observing the solar system. That's why our calendar also, it's like a circle. We have a year, and, you know, a year goes by, and then another circle, and 365 days, and 0.25 days, and 52 weeks every year, 12 months every year, and then another circle, and another circle. Everywhere you look, it's circles, circles, circles. The Earth takes 365 days around the sun at a 66,600 miles per hour. That's an amazing speed. And then how the not also the Earth is going around the sun, but the Earth, it's spinning in its own axis at 1,000 miles per hour. That's double the speed of a commercial plane. That's amazing. And when you look at the fact that the month is going around the Earth, not only the Earth is going around the sun, but it's spinning in its own axis, and then the moon is going around the Earth as the Earth goes around the sun at a speed of 2,288 miles per hour. That's an amazing speed. Wow, that's just amazing. Like I said, the more you study and the more you look into it, is the more ridiculous it sounds, the evolution theory. But anyways, so God, why did God made it that way? Where am I going with all of this? This is where I am going. Just as God did with the planets, God also designed an orbit for us to travel, to be in it. Just as God did with the Earth and the Moon and all the rest of the planets. It is just amazing how they have an orbit, and they don't go astray. They don't go to where they want to go. They don't go, you know, they don't have a will. They just follow strict orders from God, and they follow that orbit. And they do it, you know, faithfully every day, every hour, every week, every month, every year, for I don't know how many centuries, for, you know, how many millenniums. And they'll be just doing it faithfully because God put them in an orbit. So the title of my message tonight is Stay in Your Orbit. So God put an orbit for us to be in. It's called God's will. We have a will. God laid a path before us, and He wants us to stay in that path, in that orbit. Everything in the Christian life revolves and circles around Christ. God has an orbit for each one of us, so we need to stay in our orbits. What would happen? Just think about this for a minute. What would happen if the moon, just the moon, not the Earth, not another big planet, just the moon, a small satellite. What would happen if the moon would get out of orbit? Can you imagine what would happen? That would be a disaster. Because God said that the moon is the ruler of the night. And it has a lot of the things that happen on Earth have had to do with the moon. Because the moon is on its orbit. And the moon is doing its job. And the moon is doing what God put her to do. She's being just obedient, and she's just going around in circles and around in circles and around in circles. God told her to do that. What would happen if the moon wouldn't do that? Well, that would be a chaos. That would be a disaster. That would be a mess, wouldn't it be? That would be. That's exactly what would happen. So what happens if the Earth would get out of orbit? If just the moon, being a small natural satellite, would cause a big mess, what would happen if the Earth would get out of orbit? And I'm just, you know, throwing this, just think about it. This is not going to happen. Of course, God has everything under control, and don't be scared if, you know, NASA comes up with some fancy report or whatever. That's not going to happen. God has everything under control. But I'm just saying, what would happen if that was possible? What would happen? Of course, that would just create a huge mess. Isn't that what we have in humanity right now? Just a mess? You know, everybody's doing whatever they want. Everybody's just doing their own ways. Everybody wants to do what they think is best. They just want to enjoy. They just want to, you know, be free. They just want to enjoy their life, whatever they, you know, that means. But they just get out of God's orbit for them. What would happen? What do you think it happens when a Christian gets out of orbit? What do you think happens when a dad gets out of orbit? And he says, you know what, I'm tired of this life. I'm tired of working and coming home. And you know, this thing of rearing children and going to church. I'm just tired of this life. What would you think that would happen if he just leaves? That would cause a mess. That would cause chaos. That would cause, you know, something to that would have an effect on that family. Just as the moon or the Earth would go out of orbit, that would cause a huge effect on us. When a Christian leaves the Christian life, when a Christian gets out of orbit, that just creates a mess. So stay in the orbit that God has put before you. I'm amazed of how many, you know, Christians get out of orbit, how many teenagers that they think they know better, and you know, they think that they can come up with a better plan, and they do whatever they want, and they end up in a mess. That's what they do. They end up in a mess. They might make some good money. That doesn't matter. They're still a mess. They may end up having a good education or a good certificate or a big diploma. They're still a mess. Spiritually, they're a mess. And at the end, what does that matter? At the very end, what does that matter if you made so many millions or so many diplomas or so many houses and so many cars? What does that matter? You know, some of the most miserable people, it's rich people that are, you know, have everything they want. Some of the most miserable, if you don't believe me, just look at the Hollywood people. You know, just look at their lives. Just look at their millions they have. You know, they don't even have time to drive all the cars they have. They don't even have time to sleep in the houses they have. They don't have time to enjoy the things they have, and they're miserable. Or otherwise, tell me what they marry 5, 6, 7, 8 times. Tell me why they only, they stay in one marriage for a couple months, a few months. Because they're miserable. Because they don't stay in that orbit that God designed for each one of us. So what would happen if we get out of our orbit? So this is where I'm going, brothers and sisters. I thank God that the Earth and the Moon, they stay on their orbits. I thank God that they're not like some of us Christians that do whatever they want to do. I thank God that we can get up every morning and know for a fact that we're going to have a normal day. The sun is going to come up. You know, the earth is going to run its course, and the moon is going to run its course, and it's going to be normal. I mean, I know we have rain and we have cloudy days, but that I'm talking about that. We're going to have a normal day because they are faithful, doing what the Lord told them to do. I thank God for my organs inside my body, that they're doing their job as God told them to do. Have you think about this, or you know, just a little bit? Your heart has been beating for how many years now? How many day vacations have they taken? How many times, you know, have they just leave work and didn't come back? Or you know what I'm saying? I mean, they've been beating minute after minute, after hour, after day, and weeks, and months, and years, non-stop. And what are they doing? They're just following orders from God. They're just doing their job. They're just beating. The heart is beating, and the kidneys are filtering, and the lungs are doing this. They're doing their job. They're following what God told them to do. They're going to stop when God says. Not when they want. When God says. Sometimes the doctor says, you only have 3 days to live. They live 30 more years. Because God says when it's time. It's not the doctor. It's not God says when it's time. But what I'm saying is they do their job. But us, as Christians, we don't want to follow our orbits. We just want to do what we want to do. As a Christian, I have an orbit. You have an orbit. As a husband, you have an orbit. I have an orbit. As a father, I have a path. I have an orbit that I have to follow. As a pastor, I have an orbit that I must follow, and you do too. As a ministry that you have an orbit, and you have to follow it. You have to be there. You have to be faithful. Just like in Jericho, they were commanded to march around the city 7 times. There's a similarity here to the Christian life. The Christian life is, in a way, an orbit, a cycle, a routine. Yes, every Sunday we're supposed to be in church. Yes, every day we're supposed to read our Bibles. Yes, every day we're supposed to pray. Yes, every day and every opportunity we're supposed to share the gospel. Yes, we're supposed to do these things over and over and over and over and over again. That's how God said it. That's what we're supposed to do. Some Christians get weary of the Christian life and they just want to leave. And what happens when they leave? They get their way. Oh, no, they don't get their way. You never get your way. When you do what you want to do, you end up in a mess. When we do what we think is best, and not what God laid for us to do, we end up in a mess. Can you imagine Jericho, Joshua and their men going around Jericho? Can you imagine some of them wondering, why 7 times? And Joshua saying, well, that's because God said so. That's 7 times because He said so. It's not if you like it, if you agree with it. It's not that I said it. It's not that I came up with it. God said it. That's what we're going to do. 7 times around the city. Can you imagine when their unsaved friends would ask them, what did you do yesterday? Oh, I went around the city. Wow. What are you going to do today? I'm going to go around the city again. Seriously? And what are you going to do the weekend? Oh, the weekend's going to be different plans. We're going to go around the city 7 times. When they say, man, you're nuts, man. All the weekends you're in church. You read your Bible every day. You need to get a life, man. You need to get a life. I'm in God's will. I'm enjoying. I'm being happy. I'm following God's orbit that He laid before me. Are you following me, brother? So we need to understand God knows best. And He laid an orbit before us that we must follow if we want to be happy. We're going to be in God's will. We need to do what God said. So with some of you, you know, you're talking in your jobs on Mondays, and they start asking, well, what did you do yesterday? Well, I went to church. And what did you do in the evening? I went to church again. And what are you going to do next week? Well, I'm going to go to church again. Man, you know, they talk about parties and dances and clubs and this and that. You know, but they're miserable. You know they're miserable. But they make fun of you because you went to church 3 times a week. What are you doing? We're just following God's orbit for my life. And it's funny when we think that, you know, we're bored in church. We do all, we're the same thing over and over again. And it feels like, you know, we need to get out of the routine and do this, do that. Well, I hope the moon doesn't think like that. I hope the earth doesn't think like that. I hope the planets don't do that. I hope your organs and mind don't do that. You know, they get bored of, the heart gets bored of beating. He says, man, I'm beating for this ungrateful guy, and he's complaining and crying all the time. Now I'm just going to take a break. It's only going to be a week. Don't worry, I'll be back. Man, they just do their job. Can we do the same thing? Just do our jobs? Can we just be faithful? What does it take to stay in our orbit? What do we need? Well, we need obedience. We need obedience. Go with me to John chapter 14, verse 15. John chapter 14 and verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. You know, the Christian life is not about talents or abilities or looks. The Christian life is about obedience. We just need to obey God. And we don't understand. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you don't understand. I don't understand so many things that I do, but I do it because I want to be obedient to God. We teach the little kids the little song about obedience, and we adults sometimes don't do that. We don't follow. Yeah, John chapter 15 and verse 14, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. The Lord tells a story about this centurion, this soldier. And he says, Lord, you don't have to come to my house. Just say the word and my servant, he'll be healed. Because I am a man under authority. And if I say this man come, he comes. And I say go, he goes. So, Lord, I know what obedience is. You just say the word and he's going to be healed. Man, can we just obey God's orders? He wants me to be in church. Let's be in church. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves. He wants us to read the Bible. Let's just read the Bible. It's for our good. He wants us to pray every day. Let's just pray. He wants us to do soul winning. Let's go soul winning. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 45. What else does it take to be to stay in our orbits? It takes faithfulness. Not only obedience, but it takes faithfulness. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant. Why? Because he's faithful. Whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. He's talking about faithfulness. And what a blessing is when people are faithful. What a blessing if pastor know that even though he wasn't here, all the people was here because they just wanted to be faithful. Not because preacher was or wasn't here. They just want to be faithful to God. What a blessing to a pastor is to see faithful people. One of the things that we don't see today anymore is faithful people. You know, I don't care about your employee of the month certificate. I care if you're in church every time. God cares if you're in church every time. I don't care about your student of the year award. Are you in church every time? Are you faithful to God? Are you doing your jobs? Are you in your ministry every time? That's what faithfulness is. You know, we can learn faithfulness from a dog. I remember the dogs in Mexico, they would sleep at the door. They would just stay there and take care of the house. And they would be faithful to his owner and just, you know, be give his heart out. We can learn from them. We can just be faithful to God and stay in our places. And look with me in chapter 24 and verse 46. Sorry, and 1 Corinthians 4:2. 1 Corinthians 4:2. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required. It is required. It's a requirement in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithfulness. Man, if God was looking for faithfulness nowadays, would he find some? Would he find us faithful? To be put in a ministry, in an area of service, would he find us faithful? You know, Christians nowadays are becoming Sunday morning goers. Just Sunday morning. Sunday morning, and they think that God should be happy because they came Sunday morning. God should be more than happy that I showed up. No, we need to be faithful. God doesn't need us, we need Him. We need to be in church because our own well-being, because our own good is for my safety, is for my good, not because God needs me. It is required. That's an interesting word, required in stewards, that a man be found faithful. Nowadays, people is not. They seem to be faithful to everything else but church or God. They go to their work. You know, parents send kids to school even when they're sick because they gotta be faithful to school. They gotta be there. They gotta make the perfect attendance and they gotta show up. But if they're sick of the same sickness for church, that's a valid excuse not to go to church. Oh, you're sick. Oh, you have too much to do. Oh, you have this. Or you don't feel good. We're not faithful. We're not faithful. It is required faithfulness to stay in our orbits. We need faithfulness. Are you faithful to church? Are you faithful to your ministry? Are you faithful to your Bible every day? Are you faithful to your prayer time every day? Are you faithful? No wonder we're not in the mess we are in today, brothers. We just get out of our orbit whenever we feel like, whenever we want to. We just go our own ways and we just go astray. We just do what we want to do. And we end up in a mess every time, every time. What else does it take to be or stay in our orbit? It takes faith. Look with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And we find this statement throughout the Bible several times. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So many things that of the Christian life that we don't understand, but we do it by faith. We don't agree with certain things, but we do it by faith. Some of the things we think that we have a better plan, but we gotta stick with God's plan by faith. Some of the things, you know, we just don't like. Period. We don't like it. But it's still, that's God's plan. And we have to do it by faith. By obedience. Being faithful. By faith. And my last point here, discipline. It will take discipline to read the Bible. It will take discipline to do soul winning. It will take discipline to be in church every service. It will take discipline to do what I'm supposed to do. It will take discipline to stay in my orbit. Do you have discipline, brothers? Today, I believe today discipline is something that is disappearing. You know, kids get up at noon and you know they go to the fridge, get something to eat. They watch TV for 4 or 5 hours. They go to sleep again. You know, there's no discipline. There's no discipline in anything we do. We just do the things as they come, as we feel. As you know, if the day is cloudy, then I feel this way. If the day is sunny, I feel this way. I do because, you know, how I feel. We don't do things by discipline. We need to discipline ourselves. I learned discipline, or at least I started seeing discipline when I was younger. I had 3 brothers in the army, and I saw them how early they would get up every time. I saw how they would get ready and shine their shoes and shave and have their uniforms and do what they needed to do. And I started learning something about that. Discipline is very important in life. People now don't have discipline. That's why I have people today, they last about, you know, a month, 2 months in a job. And then they go to a different job. And then they go to a different job. And then they go to a different job. And then they go to a church, and then they go to another church, and then they marry this wife or this husband, and then they marry another one. Because the discipline, it has to do in all areas of our lives. Discipline. We need discipline to stay in our course, in our orbit that God laid before us. Now, brothers, I just wanted to be a blessing to you in this message. If the planets, if the earth, if the moon can be faithful, if the sea doesn't overstep its boundaries that God laid for him. If the, you know, the wind doesn't blow, if God doesn't let them, if they can obey God and be in their orbits, why can we not? Why can we just say, God, by your grace, I'm not gonna. I know there's no perfection in the Christian life, but by your grace, I'm gonna stay in my orbit. I'm going to be the Christian I need to be. I'm going to need the father I need to be. I'm going to be the worker that I need to be. I'm going to be the husband that I need to be. I'm going to stay in my orbit. I'm going to stay in my place. I'm going to do what I need to do. Can we just say that, brothers and sisters? Can we just be honest to God and say, Lord, I know you don't expect perfection from me, and I can't offer perfection to you, but I can stay in my orbit. I can try. I can try to be obedient. I can try to be faithful. I can try to have faith and exercise faith through works. And I can try to just discipline myself and get up a little bit more early and spend more time in the Bible and spend a little more time in prayer and make sure that every service I'm in your house. We can do that, brothers. We can do that. And that's all it takes. What would happen if the moon would get out of orbit? Oh, disaster. Oh, just a mess. Oh, a horrible, huge accident. Just imagine what would happen. Well, what would happen if a Christian would get out of orbit? Well, then it comes divorce. Then it comes kids staying with stepfathers and then being abused. And then this and then that. And then they're all out of God's will. And they're all miserable. And they're doing this, and they're doing drugs, and they're alcoholics, and they're selling drugs, and they're in jail. All these are consequences. Consequences for someone not staying in their orbit that they were supposed to be in. I'm just glad that God gives us an opportunity. Every time we hear the Word of God, every time we hear a message, every time God speaks to us, that's an opportunity He's given us. Hey, you haven't done it this way? Well, you get another chance. You haven't done it this way? You get another chance. You get another chance. He wants us to be faithful. He wants us to be obedient. He wants us to have faith. He wants us to be disciplined. He just wants us to stay in our orbit for our own good. It's for our best interest. It's for our safety. Let's just pray and ask God to help us to stay in our orbits. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You for being so good to us. Thank You for every opportunity You give us. Thank You, Lord, for Your Word that admonishes us and just rebukes us and helps us to get back in the path of righteousness. I pray, Lord, You would help us. Please help me. I need to think about this, and I need to be faithful. I need to be obedient. I need to exercise my faith. I need to be disciplined. Please help us, Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If God spoke to you in a way or another, in an area or another, the piano is going to play. If you have anything to fix with God in the altar, just feel free to come and ask God to help you. I need help. I know I need help. God, help me. Help me stay in my orbit. Help me do my job. Help me be the Christian I need to be, and the husband I need to be, and the father that I need to be, the mother that I need to be. Help me be that worker that I need to be. Help me be obedient, whether I understand or not, whether I like it or not. Just be obedient. Be faithful. And exercise my faith. And be discipline myself. Please help us, Lord.